Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to rainy life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to rainy life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, I'm born to rain, say.
Born to rain
tonight. I am no
ordinary person.
Whoa,
dancing for
sing it like you believe it.
Born to rain.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na, 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 wo, yo.
I'm
no ordinary, ordinary, no, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win, born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You are destined, created by God for greatness. Father, we come to you this morning. This day we love you. We come to you in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for waking us up with a heart and a mind to hear your word and to seek after you. We thank you for the loving and faithful Father that you are, the loving God that you are. You loved us, oh God, even when we were blind, even when we couldn't see, even when we didn't want to wake up at this hour to hear your word. You were loving us still. And so we just come to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, we love you this morning. We honor you. We worship you. We say that you are the Messiah. You are Lord, and you are Lord of our lives. And so we welcome you into our lives. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Strengthener, who is always with us, with his gifts always available to us. And we say thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning. Speak to us by your word today. You are the author of the book. You authored the word. And so speak to us. Speak to us individually. Lord, let the word that someone needs today come forth. Whatever they need to hear today, let that word come forth to them individually. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. Touch our hearts. Melt the stony hearts, give us hearts of flesh. Melt the rebellious hearts, give us hearts of flesh. And I pray, O God, for each one under the sound of my voice, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. As the word goes forth, O God, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let the word be revealed. Let it be rhema today, Lord. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each one with might by your spirit in their inner man. that they might face and overcome the challenges of life. For God, you already said that we are more than conquerors. And so, Father God, as the word goes forth today, let it go forth with excellence. Let it go forth with accuracy. Let it go forth with power. And let lives be transformed, Father, never to return to the same. Father God, as the word goes forth today, let miracles take place. Because you said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst of bless. So, Lord, we know that you are here. And so as the word goes forth, Lord, let healings take place. As the word goes forth, let divine ideas come. As the word goes forth, let prosperity take place. As the word goes forth, let restoration take place. As the word goes forth, let lives be transformed. As the word goes forth, let forgiveness take place. As the word goes forth, Lord, let unity take place. God, as the word goes forth, let the secret desires of each one's heart be turned into testimonies. And to you alone be all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And the church said, amen. Open your mouths now and begin to give God thanks. It's no accident that you're up this morning. It wasn't the alarm clock. It was Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Open your mouths now and begin to give him thanks. Thank him for your life. Thank him for your health and your strength. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his word. The Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The word has healing power in it. The word delivers. Come on, thank him for his word. The word has prosperity in it. The word has restoration in it. The word has unity in it. The word has peace in it. Come on, thank him for his word. Thank him for the good people he has put in your life. There's someone good in your life. Somebody's doing something good in your life. Come on, open your mouth, call their names and give them thanks. Give God thanks for them. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Come on. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Father, we return as one man, one voice this morning to say thank you. Every good thing in our lives has come from you. We say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. And we are more than enough for the challenges that we face. We thank you, O God, that every challenge is turned into a testimony in advance. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you have a testimony, hit one on your keypad, and we'll give you an opportunity to share. And a testimony is just simply tell us briefly what was the situation, what did you do, and what did God do? Because as we always say, we're in partnership with God. You know, so often people think, you know, stuff is just going to drop on your lap. You know, and sometimes it does happen like that. But for the most part, you're in partnership with God. You have a part to play in the miracle that you're seeking. You have a part to play in your breakthrough, you see? And an important part of that part is your mouth. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, Matthew 18:21. And in Matthew 12:27, where Jesus says, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned, you see? So what we say will determine our experience ultimately. Right? So it's very important. The Bible tells us that. And so part of, you know, our seeing our breakthroughs is what we're saying, you know. And the key is to be consistent in what you're saying. And so you don't just say it when you're in church or, you know, when you're around believers, you know, God is good all the time. You know how you say, right? But then about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, When the challenge is pressing in on you, you start saying something else. So there has to be consistency at all times, at all times. It's Matthew 12:37. Jesus speaking, for by your words you are justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And so God has already spoken, right? We had a whole teaching on what did God say, right? looking at various, you know, situations and circumstances that come into the human life. And what did God say about them? Because the Bible is an instruction book. It's not just a spiritual book, oh, I read my Bible today. No, it is a book of instruction for believers. And when you follow it, that's when you see the supernatural hand of God moving. But you have a part to play. And so you can't read the Bible one day or, you know, be in church or whatever you do, you know, fellowship, and then the next side of your mouth, oh, but, you know, you're talking the problem. No. Because then you've just canceled the prayer. You see? You just cancel the prayer. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people are not destroyed because they don't love me. That's not why my people are destroyed. My people are destroyed because they're things that they don't know. They don't understand spiritual things, right? They don't understand the spiritual laws. And so because they don't understand them, they violate them and suffer the consequences. And so that's why God has us here to teach, you see? And so we're primarily a teaching ministry so that we might grow in understanding. And as we grow in understanding and as we apply the knowledge that we receive, that's when the testimonies come about. That's when the breakthroughs happen. Amen? And so God has great plans for your life. I don't care where you are right now. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you've been. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. God has great plans for your life. It's not a guess. You're not an accident. You know what I mean? You're not an accident. And let me tell you something. There's nothing that can come into your life or that you're facing that God didn't see before, long before. And has already prepared for you a way of escape. And has sent you his word to strengthen you in the midst of it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. Another translation says, there's no test, there's no trial. In other words, there's nothing that can come into your life that's not common to man. Because you're not allowed to be tested, you know, tried with something that a human being cannot overcome. Do you understand me? And so there's no temptation, no test, no trial that can come into your life that is not common to man. It's common. You're going through it, and oftentimes when we're going through it, we feel like we're the only ones going through it. But somebody else is going through that, and guess what? A believer overcame it. You understand me? Somebody went through, and they overcame. So it's very important that we not alienate ourselves and begin to think that, oh, you know, it's just me. It's not just you. Others have gone through. And particularly when you're a believer, when you're trusting God, man, the enemy will rile stuff up because the whole thing is to discourage you, to get you off the word, because he's looking to steal your joy. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's why we teach praise, you see, praising God, putting on music and dancing unto the Lord. Man, the strongholds have to come down. You see, God has given us weapons that the enemy does not understand. And the kingdom of God operates in a way that looks foolish to the natural mind. You see? Love your enemies. You know what I'm saying? Pray for them. Right? You see? Oh, give. You know, you're broke, but give. Because then you're giving, you're going to be blessed. What? No. The world says when you're broke, you better hold on to what you got and see what you can get from somebody else. See what you can get free. You understand? So Babylon, we call it the Babylonian system, operates differently than the kingdom of God. Which is where you are. Because when you got saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it wasn't just an emotional moment. You were actually transferred spiritually now to high places, hallelujah, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You were transferred into the kingdom of light. And so we operate differently in this kingdom. And I'm privileged to be a tour guide, hallelujah. Come on now. I'm privileged to be a guide in the kingdom. I'm privileged to be a coach in the kingdom. I'm privileged to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm privileged to be a prophet of the Lord Most High. I'm privileged to be here to guide you, come on, with the Holy Spirit, to your high places, for the plans God has for you. And so as you hear, and as you obey, you do what we say, and everything we say lines up with the word, right? And so that's how you always know everything, no matter what, it comes to you, an idea comes on, it's got to line up with the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, let it go. Because God's word will never fail. Luke 1:37, New Living Translation. I love the way they put it. For God's word will never fail. Do you understand me? And so that's why we always are, you know, looking to find out what did God say about my situation.
And you find as many of those scriptures as you can, and you stand on that and that alone, and you speak that and that alone. It's not easy. You understand me? Listen, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. That's why the Bible tells you, fight the good fight of faith. It is a fight. But it is not a fight in human strength. It is a spiritual fight. And you're drawing on the strength of Almighty God, you see. He's empowering you. And he does that as you spend quality time meditating in his word. You see, the word is a supernatural book. Do you understand? And that's why Jesus said in John 6:63, my word is spirit and it is life, right? So as the word goes forth, as you're meditating on the word, it's entering you, entering your spirit. Of course, coming through the mind, right? And entering your spirit. And it begins to empower you and strengthen you. And faith begins to build up. And so that's why he said in Proverbs 4:20-23, right? My son, attend to my words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. So there are many scriptures that though you may have them memorized, I have some, you know, I know them, but you still take time to look at them. Why? Because as we've told you again and again, we are a portal. And so what you see enters. Why do you think advertisers pay so much money for advertisements? You're desiring things you didn't even know you needed. But because of the ads that you're seeing consciously and some of them subliminally, it creates a desire in you. So when you start to see what God has said, and now the doctor gives you a report, or your bank account gives you a report, right? Or your children give you a report, or your marriage is giving you a report, contrary to what you saw, man, a violent faith rises up within you, and you say, no. You say, no. I don't receive it. Not ego. Now, this is not ego. The world has willpower. I know it very well. I've operated there. Right? But I'm not talking willpower. Because remember now, God, who created everyone and everything, he did not create men as automatons. So man has free will. And he's given man a lot of strength, believer, non-believer. You see? It's just that the believer now has another level of power because God is with you and God is in you. He's the one doing the work. You see, willpower burns out after a while. When you're going on your own egoic strength, it burns out after a while. And there comes a time when you hit a place where it won't work. Right? You see, anybody can be strong when the money is flowing and everything is going well and the marriage is happy. You understand? Anybody can be great then. But when those things falter, that's when you find out where you really are and who you really are and what you're leaning on. For example, there's a beautiful young lady at my gym, and she's 4 feet something, you know, beautiful little cook, Italian girl. And this chick is so strong. You hear me? You cannot believe the weight that she lifts overhead. And lately I've just noticed her just been working out. And, you know, generally we do I do CrossFit, right? So you do an hour training, your class is an hour, and, you know, whatever the workout is. And that's an hour. But the other day I was talking that she did like 3 classes already. So in my warm-up, she happened to be next to me as I was warming up. And I said, what's going on? You know, because I'm always looking for a way to bring the word to somebody, right? So I'm in the gym, but hey, wherever I am, I'm looking to find out, hey, do you know Jesus? Can I tell you about it? So I said, what's going on? The energy and the strength. I mean, you're doing this stuff like triple time everybody else, you know? Big guys can't even keep up with her. And so then she just confessed to me. She said, you know, I was just at a point in my life, you know, where I was really, really high because she just came back from London for her job and this and that. She said, you know, and everything just fell. You know, my marriage broke up. My marriage is over, I'm divorced, and I don't have a job now. And she says, you know, I smoke 25 cigarettes a day. I wanted to eat my false fingernails. I said, what? This little beautiful golden child, you know what I'm saying? Smoking 25 cigarettes a day. Why? Because the natural strength that she has, right, and the egoic strength and the willpower got her these things. But now these things have fallen apart, and that's what she built her foundation on. And now these things have fallen apart, so then she starts to look. She's looking down, you know, she's at the gym all the time. She's smoking all, blah, blah, blah. And so I just said, listen, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Bible? Well, yeah, yeah, I grew up, you know, she named the religion. Okay, do me a favor. Take Psalm 23. And just every day, every morning, just begin to work with Psalm 23. So she went quickly and got her phone. She wrote it down. She said, okay, I'm going to do it in Italian. I said, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. You know, and we'll talk. This was just like yesterday or day before yesterday. But I feel that to say, you see what I'm saying? So you see people, you know, successful and da 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 da. But if it's not built on Christ, the solid rock I stand, then all other ground is sinking sand. If it's not built on the word, it's going to go down at some point. The other thing that happens is that when people get success, some, you know, let's say they've been working with the word and things are changing, and then what happens is now they lay off of it. You know, they're too busy now, because you know, you got the job, now you got the this, so you don't have time to really, you don't have much time. You know, because when you ain't got no job, right, you got a lot of time to be in the word. You know what I'm saying? When things ain't working, man, you in prayer meeting, you in church, you digging. You wherever you can find God, you looking. But, of course, when you start to get understanding and God's grace begins to shine, things do change. So the job comes, you know, the wife comes, the husband comes, whatever the desires are, they start to come. And this is what pulls people away. You see? But that shall not be you under the sound of my voice. Amen? Amen. All right. I want to just review where we've been. We've been talking this month, all month, and this is the last Wednesday of the month now. I know you all had a great Thanksgiving. I certainly did. That was the last time we were together, right? So here we are again. So to God be the glory, not just for the food, but for the friendship and the, you know, that we're alive to share it all with loved ones. We've been looking at seven steps to answered prayer, and we only have step seven to go today. Right? But before we go to step seven, I'm just going to do a recap, and then we'll go to step seven. And I pray that you have made time to write this down and, you know, to get these steps in your spirit so that you understand them, okay? Our anchor scriptures have been John 15, verse 7, John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, 7, John 15, 14. Now, let's look at John 14, 13 to 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And, oh, just a note here, an update. We had some trouble with our website. So if you were looking to access the website, it was not active, but thank God it is up now. All right? So to God be the glory. And that's Hazel Goodman Ministries. And we're also looking to have it become hgm.org, because, you know, we realize that Hazel Goodman Ministries is a lot to put in, but hgm.org. Okay. So, and John, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then our third anchor scripture, John 16, 23 to 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't that beautiful? God wants you to ask. He wants you to receive. Because why? He wants your joy to be full. What father doesn't want that for his children? You see? It's very important to know that God wants you not just to be happy. Happy is based on happenings. And so when people are happy, oh, you know, they're happy because, oh, this happened and that happened. But when it unhappens, now their happiness is gone. but you want joy. Joy is a whole different thing. Joy, you can be in the midst of the storm, but there's a song in your heart. You're in the midst of a storm when people think, oh, you should be, you know, even cursing God, but there's a praise in your mouth. That's joy. Joy is what you want all the time. You don't let anything steal your joy. Not anything. Don't let anything or anybody steal your joy. Your joy is your strength. The enemy comes for your joy. Do you understand? Because if he gets you depressed, you don't even want to look at the word. If he gets you depressed, you don't even want to be around people. You ain't go to that church. It all seems, you can't even see. It's like he comes and puts a gray blanket over you, right? And so you cannot depend on happiness. Don't forget that. Focus on joy. And joy comes from spending quality time on a daily basis in the word. It comes from singing songs of praise unto God. It's not possible to sing praise and be unhappy. You understand? And the more consistently you are in doing this, your joy will be full. Got it? And then when you do, your joy makes you strong, and then you can face the challenges and overcome them. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look now. The seven steps to answered prayer that we've been going through. Step number one was be specific and stand on God's promises. Be specific and stand on God's promises. In other words, it's important that we've gone through all of this. We've been working with, for those of you who may be new, the Bible Prayer Study Course by the late Kenneth E. Hagin, H-A-G-I-N. It's the Bible Prayer Study Course, okay? And the very first chapter deals with seven steps to answered prayer. And so that's what we've been looking at in this month of November. Be specific and stand on God's promises, okay? So you have to know exactly what it is you're desiring from the Lord, and then find the promises. You know, what has he said? You know, you got to get the word. In other words, what we're saying is find where God has promised you that. You remember when blind Bartimaeus, right, when he went to Jesus, when he finally got through the crowd and went to Jesus, Jesus knows everything, right? God in flesh. But he still said to blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? You could see he was blind. But that may not have been what he wanted. Who's to say that that's what he wanted? Right? So he had to be specific. And if you look throughout the scriptures, you know, there's always something specifically that people are desiring. So know what you want. And maybe several things. Take the time to itemize them then. Know what you want from God. And then find the scriptures to back it up. Your healing, your prosperity, your children, your marriage, the marriage you want to have, your peace, your job, your promotion. They're all in there. They're all in there. They're all in there. And so you have to find, right, and thank God for the Google engine, right? You just put in whatever you're looking for and, you know, put scriptures next to it, and it'll come up, all the scriptures that deal with that. And so you just pick it, maybe need about three or four. Three is good. Three solid ones that touch you, and you're standing on those that word. Number two, ask God for what you want, right? Ask God for what you want. I like this. Let me just read this. We talked about the first step to receiving answered prayer. I'm reading directly from the book now. Step one is to decide what you want from God and find scriptures that promise you the things you desire. Step number two, receiving answered prayer, is ask God for the things you want. And believe that you receive them. So two things are happening when you're asking. You're asking and you're believing that you receive them. Certainly, the Lord knows what we need even before we ask, but he still said for us to ask him. The Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, Matthew 6:32. But he also tells you to ask for what you need. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, John 16:24. And then Hagin goes on to say here, to say that you're leaving it up to God and that you know he will automatically do whatever is best is unscriptural. Jesus himself said we are to ask God for what we need, right? Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. And that's why we've been looking at seven steps to answer prayer, because some people say, well, you know, I've been asking, and nothing's happening, and then you get discouraged. Well, let's get the rules to the game. Do you understand? You know, there are rules in the kingdom. This concept that Christianity is just sort of like, you know, oh, just pray and pray, and well, we'll see, and if he does it, that's not it. Have you noticed the universe, how orderly it is? Well, the creator of the universe, our God, whose son's name is Jesus, is a God of order. And so, you know, we must begin to know that there is a way to do things, to get what we're looking for, to get the results that we're desiring. God is not withholding anything good from you. He sent his only begotten son. So, but you know, the arrogance of our humanness, right? The arrogance of flesh is to always think that, well, you know, well, I did everything. Right? We never think that we're missing something. We never think that we're missing a step. We always think, yeah, well, and then when we get frustrated enough, then we start looking around. I did that. You know, you start going over by Buddha and them. Then you start going over here. You're going over everywhere. You're going everywhere else. Because why? You lack knowledge, but you never think. Somehow they think that the knowledge, you know, Christians tend to think that the knowledge is just for the preacher. No. You don't have to go to seminary. You just got to go to your word and read the books of the teachers and the prophets that he's given us with the proof. Ken E. Hagin being one of them, right? Particularly in the area of healing. Kenneth Copeland being another, particularly in the area of prosperity. Bishop Oyedepo, another, particularly in the area of the supernatural all around. They've got proof, major proof. Mm-hmm. So this is why, you know, we've got to do the work. We've got to do the work. Ask. God wants to give it to you. That high desire, it is his pleasure to give it to you. And so we have to know to ask. Okay? Step number three, be positive in your thinking. This is an important one. Be positive in your thinking. After you pray in faith according to God's word, never permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. Once you've prayed and asked God for something, never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. If doubts persist, rebuke them. And let me give you a heads up. They will. Okay? They will. But when doubts persist, rebuke them. Get your mind on the answer. To get your mind on the answer, you will have to get your mind on the word. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it is a battle, right? I was talking to someone, and she was going through, you know, just moving through some challenges. And, you know, but she was saying, man, I woke up depressed today and doubts were in my mind. I said, but, you know, don't beat yourself up. That, you know, in this terrain, that happens. But your job is to be wiser than the enemy. So that's why step one is you got the word. So when the enemy shows you a picture, or a negative picture comes to your mind, or somebody says something, or you know what God said. But if you're not, if you didn't do the first step, if you didn't do your homework, and you're just depending on this one to pray with you, and this, and then when the rocky moments come, and you didn't get the word for yourself, and you didn't open your eyes to see it for yourself and write it down and stand on it, then when the shaking comes, you're going to fall. You see? But that shall not be you under the sound of my voice. That shall not be you. So be positive in your thinking, and you're positive in your thinking because you have the word. And resist the enemy, he will flee. If you don't resist, he will stay, the thoughts will stay. But if you resist by the word, it'll go. Now, the battle will happen again and again, but then what will happen, you'll get to a point where you're stronger than it, and that won't come anymore. As you continue feeding on the word, as you're feeding on the word daily, meditating in the word daily, making quality time, 10 minutes maybe, 5, 15 minutes, you know, every day, until it'll build up. But start with 5 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. You'll be stronger today than you were yesterday. Guard your mind. Guard your mind. It's a similar step to step three. Let's look at it. Step four, to receive answered prayer, is guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. Thoughts are governed. Let's look at this again. Thoughts are governed by observation. Now, this is so important. Listen to this. Thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teaching. So what you're observing, what you're associating with, and the teaching you're receiving. So this step is closely associated with step number three, which is guard, which is be positive in your thinking. The Bible says we are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. That's why you should stay away from all places and things that do not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Your thoughts are governed by observations, associations, and teachings. So what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're around, don't think you can just be around that stuff and it doesn't seep in. It does. Negativity is amazing. It's free. It's everywhere. So he goes on. That means that sometimes you will have to stay away from the kind of churches that can put more unbelief in you than anything else. Also, be sure to enjoy fellowship with those who contribute to your faith. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So in other words, when negative imaginations come, negative thoughts come, you're casting them down with the word. You're getting rid of them. You're throwing them out with the word, right? They're exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. When you know, you see, this is why you can't put the scientists before God. Thank God for the scientists. Thank God for our doctors, especially Christian doctors. Thank God. You understand? Because doctors are healers. They're just working on the natural realm. Thank God for them. We thank God for them all the time. But don't give away your power. Because when they reach a point where they can't see where it's going to work, or you got 5 days to live, or this will never be fixed, is there no balm in Gilead? Come on now. Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of my people not recovered? Because my people have put all their thoughts, all they've given all their power to just the physician. Thank God for the physician, but thank God much more for God and his word. And so if you're in a position, you're working with the physician, work with the physician, but be feeding on the word. Work with the physician, feed on the word. Work with the physician, feed on the word. You ain't got to throw nothing away yet. Because what happens is as you feed on the word, Your spirit becomes strong, and in the process of time, healing takes place by the word. You ain't got to throw nothing away. Remember the testimony I shared with you of the man who the pastor who had diabetes, right, and heard this word, right, and began to he was taking his insulin, but every time he took his insulin, he was standing on Mark 11:24. I believe I received healing for the diabetes. Every time he took a shot, I believe I received healing for the diabetes. What happened? A man who had been taking insulin for 30 years. 30 years. The doctors took him off of it. Everything recovered. No more. There is supernatural power, man, in the word of God. Don't just get caught up in the natural realm at all. Do you understand? Never, never. So guard your mind. Guard your mind. And another way to guard your mind is Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Look at Philippians 4:8. Man, I love it. Finally, brethren, it starts with 6, right? Philippians 4:6, particularly in the New International Version. I know I'm going fast. This is how, you know, when I'm flowing, when the Holy's flowing through me, this is how it is. So you got to listen quick. And then, of course, you can always go back in and download these, right? So the podcasts are available, and you can always go back in, come back into Blog Talk, right, / Hazel Goodman, and download what I'm saying and have time to go over it, okay? So Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, right? But in everything with prayer and supplication, supplication means specific requests. Make your requests known unto God, right? With thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind, right? And so verse 8 now says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see? So the Bible tells us in Philippians exactly what to think on. Many people, he goes on to say here, many people are thinking on the wrong things, and they're defeated in life as a result. But if you will guard against every evil thought and think only on those things which affirm that God has heard and answered your prayers, you will be cooperating with God in faith. Remember I said at the top of the call, it's a partnership. You will have to guard your mind in order to develop in faith. Stand your ground, firm in faith. Your faith will see you through to victory. Amen? Amen. So that's how we guard our mind. And so, you know, something may be true, but it may not be lovely. You see, take this Philippians 4:8, write it out. This is your instruction, what you need to be thinking on. Because the Bible is a book of instructions. It's not just a holy book to read and put back on the shelf. It's a book to get instructions from and then to apply the instructions to your life. For example, I had a number of things, several things just coming up at me. It was like one thing after Oh, man, I felt like I was swatting bees. You know, I just felt like bees. It was like, and I found myself fretting in my spirit about it, you know, just fretting. And it was making me so uncomfortable, you know. And then it just occurred, you know, the Lord spoke to me by this word again. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm not doing Philippians 4:8. I'm focusing on it. And the more you focus on anything, it's going to increase, right? You give it power. And, man, I just went back. I just took my mind to the word. Like, I just was like, no, wait, you know what? No. So whatever I have to do, you know, concerning those different things, I would just take the steps need to be taken. Okay, this needs to be done now. Okay, fine. This is the step we're at. Okay, fine. But I'm not discussing it. I ain't talking to, I'm not going, I'm, can I tell you, the peace and the joy that has filled my soul and everything, one by one, just calming down. I'm going to give you the testimony when it's all finished. Just calming down. You know what I'm saying? But when I was like, I was trying to get, it was, because we, you know, wait a minute, wait, you know, no, I'm not letting you take me over. It's a work. It's a work. Because the temptation is to, you know, thinking you got to do it all. You don't. Handle your business and go back to praise. Handle your business, go back to the word. Handle your business, go back to praise. And if it ain't pure and it ain't lovely, if it's not a good report, you ain't telling nobody. You're telling God, and you're talking to the word. That's it. And watch the devil lie down. Man, it's power. Power. Listen, Christianity is power, you know. Man, Christianity is power. I'm so excited. I was telling, you know, at the gym last night, I was telling the kids, to these young people I was speaking to, and we just finished this amazing workout. And I said, you know, I said, CrossFit, to me, is building, it's the newest workout on the planet, apparently, and it's just taking over, you know. But what's fascinating about it, it taps into strength that you didn't even know you had. Now, whether or not you want to lift 200 pounds, that's irrelevant. That's not the point. But it strengthens you beyond your ability, you see. A lot of times as people are aging too, you know, a lot of the sufferings and the pains and the aches they get and the bending and all of that is because there's been no exercise, no consistent exercise. You see what I'm saying? And so, you know, you've got to do some exercise, just like you've got to eat well, right? These are just, you know, God has given us that wisdom, right? So I was telling them, it's as if CrossFit is building this breed of superhumans, you know, able to jump walls and do this and do that. And then I said to them, I said, in my Christianity, hallelujah, I said, you know, my Christianity, I said, that's how I feel about my Christianity. Faith is building a breed of superhuman Christians who raise the dead, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb talk, the lame walk. Christianity is power. But it's a power of the spirit. And when your spirit is strong, man, your physical being has to be strong. Because remember now, God is in you. If the Spirit of the living God, Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why I tell them all the time, I cannot be sick. People think, oh, you're being arrogant, you're being evil. No, I saw it in the book. Because God is in me. If Christ is in me, if the Holy Spirit is in me, how can sickness be in me? Jesus died, he took it. I was showing somebody that the other day, Matthew 8:17. He took it. He took it over 2,000 years ago. But if you don't know that he took it and they give you a report about it, you're going to receive it. And once you receive it and you agree that this is what I have, and you start telling it like this is what I got, and you start believing what the bank book says, and you start believing your credit report, that's what people operate in and that's where they stay. But by God's grace, I've been walking in divine health. Hallelujah. Because why? I saw it in the book. But when they told me I had to keep sucking on an asthma pump, hey, thank God I saw it in the book. When I was using willpower to get rid of the asthma, it wasn't working. Changed my diet. It wasn't working. Threw the pump away. It wasn't working. But when my mother died, let me tell you something. I was thanking God up to yesterday that my mother died. Now, you know I'm healed, right? Could you imagine? You know I must be healed. I thank God. I said, God, thank you for my mom's death. Because why? First of all, she has resurrected. She's with Christ. She's in a better place. She's in heaven. That's number one. But number two, it set me in search of her God in a real way. And if she hadn't left, surely, you know, your mom is there. Or whoever's got your back is there. You see what I'm saying? You know, I've seen it with people when they've lost their husbands and they go crazy. Because why? They didn't take time to build a foundation in the Word. Love your husband. Love who? Love your child. Love your... But you better build a foundation in the Word. And so when my mother died, I ran to the Word. And thank God. And I'm still running and digging and finding. I would never have been on this kind of search. Do you see what I'm saying? We're going to get to step 7. Come on now. Number five. Meditate on God's promises and prepare. Meditate on God's promises and prepare. So you did step 1. You got the promises. You see what God has spoken concerning your health, your wealth, your family, your marriages, everything, your job, your promotions, your careers, your inner peace, your ministries. You've seen what he said concerning it. And you're meditating on God's promises and you're preparing. And so you have to prepare. Faith without works is dead, the Apostle James told us, the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle James. And so we have to prepare. So whatever it is that you are believing for, there are steps to be taken. A lot of times people just want to wait and see it come and then I'll do. No, you have to prepare. For example, my team and I, we're going to Broadway and beyond, right? So you're going to soon see what's going on, Hazel, what's going on Broadway. You're going to see it on television. You're going to see it in other places. But we can't sit around going, oh, yeah, it's going to happen, just like that. No! Every show is a preparation. Every rehearsal is a preparation. We had an amazing show, this last show, all of our shows, quite frankly. It's amazing. Since May have just been phenomenal, you know. The audiences, the people, the responses, the impact. But you know how much rehearsal goes into that? You know how much rehearsal goes into that? You see? So you have to prepare. You can't just, you know, think, oh, God is going to do it. You know, yeah, let's just praise and dance and sing. We praise and dance and sing, but then we're going to do the work. Do you understand? So step 5, meditate on God's word and on God's promises and prepare. Step 6 is an important step. Continually thank God for the answer. You haven't seen it yet. It hasn't manifested yet, but you're thanking God. You don't even feel like it, but you're thanking God. God, I thank you because you've prayed it now. So we don't have to go and pray again. You don't have to ask again. This is where people fall into the trap. No, you don't have to ask again. When you are asking again, you're undoing the prayer. You understand me? That's your faith. You're showing that I don't have any faith. Because if you ask me for something, right? And let's say you ask me for something twice, and I promise you I'm going to do it. You ain't got to ask the person again if you trust the person. If you know that Hazel is a woman of her word, and if she says she's going to be here at 6 a.m. on Thursday, she's going to be there at 6 a.m. on Thursday. And the only thing that won't have her there at 6 a.m. on Thursday is if God called her home, right? If you have that kind of confidence, you'll show up. Well, we have to have that kind of confidence in God. trusting your employers. That's why you keep going to work, because you believe that check is coming. People have more trust in their employers, in their doctors, in their bank books than they do in God. But not you under the sound of my voice. That's why this is the winner's call. We are calling winners. You might have been losing before, but you ain't losing no more. You're a winner. Why? Because you're getting armed with knowledge. And as you get armed with the knowledge, and as you apply the knowledge, come on, you start to win where you were losing before. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, say amen to that. Step number 7, make every prayer a statement of faith. Make every prayer a statement of faith. Now, let me read that for you. Step number 7 to receiving answered prayer is make every prayer relative to what you have asked of faith instead of unbelief. You can think and say words of faith just as easily as you can think and say words of doubt and unbelief. It is thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. I'd like to read that for you again. It is thinking faith thoughts, and faith thoughts are what? Thoughts based on God's word. It is thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. Speaking about the prayer of faith, Smith Wigglesworth once said, if you pray 7 times for any one thing, you prayed 6 times in unbelief. And so that's why that step 6 is about continually thanking God. You don't have to ask him again. Smith Wigglesworth, they call him the father of faith. He too, 30 people, it's recorded in his ministry that 30 people rose up from the dead, you know, under his ministry. During his time in ministry, in the church he pastored, no one ever got sick. Everybody was in divine health. Let me tell y'all something. Christianity is power. You hear me? Andrew Murray said, it is not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. Andrew Murray also said that if what you've prayed for hasn't materialized and you do pray again, don't pray for it again in the same way, because that would be unbelief. He said to remind God that you asked for it and remind him of what his word says. Put him in remembrance of his promises. That's Isaiah 43:26, right? The Lord said, put me in remembrance. Tell him that you're expecting it and thank him for it. Now, when we say remembrance there, it doesn't mean that God forgot. God didn't forget, right? There's another way of saying, but that's why we say you come to him with thanksgiving, right? God has not forgotten. Somebody wrote to me and said, God answers us in 3 ways, yes, no, and wait. And then I wrote back, correction, that's not true. See, the things that we think are true, God doesn't say no, yes, no, and wait. God has one answer, yes. Hello, I know that your little religious hairs on the back of your neck for most of you just went up. God has one answer, and here's the deal. When you have found it in his word, that's why you got to have his word. His word is his will. When you know his will, the answer is yes. Now, if you're asking something that's not in the word, there's only one answer for that. And there's no wait either. Now is the appointed time. It's according to your faith, be it done unto you. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why we have to build our faith. A lot of times we think we're waiting on God. No, God is waiting on us. Because it's by your faith. If that woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, Bible said she was suffering for 12 years, right? She lost everything, didn't have it. She was broke now. Spent all her money with the physicians. Still couldn't get well. If she had sat home waiting, no, she heard about the Messiah. She said, whoa, this got to be him. And the Holy Spirit gave her a revelation. If I could touch the hem of his garment. She went now. She touched the hem of his garment now. And as she touched with that faith that she had, because she had, you know, when you're broke, when you have nothing, it's amazing how faith will come. You understand? How you will hold on to God with every inch of your being. And so as she held on to God with every inch of her being, believing what the Holy Spirit was saying to her, she touched the hem of his garment, and what happened? She became whole now. She didn't have to wait for it. And so that's why we build our faith. We build our faith. We build our faith. Because the Bible says, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So God is not, it's not we waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Got it? All right. Make every prayer a statement of faith. Let's see. His word says, put him in remembrance of his promises. Tell him that you're expecting it and thank him for it. Let's round this up. Let me give you an example, he says, of saying and thinking words of faith and receiving a bountiful benefit and blessing. I was holding a meeting once in West Texas. A man and his wife, who were both singers, were traveling with me. The man had promised me he would stay with me for a certain period of time because I had taken a good deal of time to train him. He said he wouldn't start preaching on his own just when I had him trained sufficiently so he could really be of help to me. We were holding a meeting in a motel conference room, and this man and his wife were staying with the pastor. One day during the meeting, the man and his wife drove up to the motel. Just as they drove up, I had a revelation that God was calling this man to preach, but the man was afraid to tell me. The man and his wife talked to me about several things. Finally, the man told me he had to tell me something. I told him that I knew what it was because the Lord had already shown me. I assured him that it was all right and that I wouldn't try to stand in the way of the Lord. Later, he tried out for the pastorate of a little church in an area where I had pastored, and they voted him in. He told them that all he knew was what he had heard me say. Later, he asked me to come and hold a meeting for him. This man had told the people in that church that in 60 days, they would be running 60 people in attendance in Sunday school. When I finally did go there to hold a meeting, the Sunday school superintendent told me that they had had good pastors at the church before, but they'd never had more than 70 in Sunday school. The Sunday school superintendent said that on the day that this new pastor said they would have 60 in Sunday school, they had 60. This pastor had learned the principles of faith. Then the pastor said that in 90 days, they would be running 90 in Sunday school, and they did. He then said that in another 60 days, they would be running 120, and they did that too. In that 9 months' time, they had grown from 18 to 120 in Sunday school. The pastor then told the congregation that they were going to build a new brick church building there. The Sunday school superintendent told me that by that time he was ready to believe anything, and he said he would give the first $1,000 for it himself. He said that his father, who was mayor of the town, would also give $1,000. When I went to hold my meeting in that church, we had a full house. Don't undo your prayers. This new pastor who had traveled with me knew how to believe God. He knew how to receive from God through prayer. And he knew how to hold on to the answer by standing his ground in faith. Many times people undo their prayers. They get into unbelief and just stay there. And it is as if they are spinning their wheels in prayer. They need to get into faith and stay there. They may have to stand their ground for a period of time. But if they stay in the arena of faith, the answer will come. An example of people undoing their prayers occurred in one of my meetings that I held in this pastor's church. One night, a woman came into that church just before the service was turned over to me. When the minister turned it over to me, she jumped up and said that she had a special prayer request. She said she had just come from Sister Gray's house and that Sister Gray wasn't supposed to live past midnight. My minister friend said he had been to see Sister Gray that day, and he confirmed that what this woman had said was true. So he told everyone to stand and pray for her. I thought we were standing to pray for her healing. So we all stood and prayed. Then we thanked God for the answer. See, now they're following Philippians 4:6. When you pray, right? When, you know, prayer with thanksgiving. Make your prayer, your request, and then add thanksgiving to it. The next night, this same woman came back again. And during the service, she said she thought we ought to pray for Sister Gray again. She said the doctor had examined Sister Gray and that he couldn't understand why she hadn't died. In fact, he said she was going to live after all. They had gotten the woman up out of bed, and she had been sitting in a chair. Although she was still very weak, it is only natural that her body would be weak after being bedfast. This sister said that it was evident God had touched Sister Gray, but that now we should pray that God would heal her. But that wouldn't be right, because if we did that, we would not be making every prayer relative to what we've asked for. Statement of faith. Instead of making a statement of faith, we would be making a statement of unbelief. We hadn't prayed the first time that God would touch her. We had prayed that he would heal her, and he had answered our prayers. Therefore, for us to pray again that God would heal her would have been praying in unbelief. While all of this was going on, I had a feeling I should get up and say something, but I hesitated. I knew that because Sister Gray had been healed by mass faith, that is, by the corporate faith of the congregation, that if the congregation kept praying that Sister Gray would be healed, their unbelief would be taking her out of God's hands and she would probably die. You see, by that time, Sister Gray was beyond using her own faith to receive her healing. But I was reluctant to say anything. I knew on the inside of me that within 3 days, she would be dead. Sure enough, 3 days later, she died. Many times, we are cheated out of the blessings God wants us to have in this life because we're not cooperating with him. Instead of praying again for Sister Gray's healing, the congregation should have raised their hands and thanked God that she had been healed. In a district convention in Texas many years ago, a call came that one of the pastors in that city was in the hospital dying. The district superintendent called us to pray, so we all prayed for this dying man. After we prayed, we thanked God that he had heard us. Brother Raymond T. Ritchie, who was the minister who had led us in prayer, started to walk away. But then he turned around and came back to the microphone. He asked, "How many of you are still going to keep praying for this brother in the hospital?" I didn't lift my hand, but nearly everyone else did. Then he asked the crowd, "What do you want to do that for?" Then Ritchie went on to explain to the congregation that they had already prayed in faith, and they were just to keep on praising God because God had heard our prayer and had healed that man. Praying any other way would be praying in unbelief. We continued on with the service, and afterwards a man came in and announced that the man who had been dying had suddenly revived and was going to be all right. The sick man had seen Jesus walk into his room, and Jesus had said to him, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." The man had been unconscious, but he had revived and had seen Jesus. Then while we were praying, the man immediately revived and was well. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you come to Christ, you have a measure of faith. Therefore, every believer can receive answers to his prayers. If you say you don't have faith, then you're making God out to be a liar. You do have faith. Every man has faith if he is saved. But it's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that lead the heart out of deceit into victory. In other words, you need to use the faith you have in order for your faith to be effective. Follow these 7 steps to answered prayer and expect to receive answers to your prayers. Do not accept no for an answer and do not be denied. I'm going to say that again. Do not accept no for an answer and do not be denied. Come on, say amen. Do not accept no for an answer and do not be denied. It's your family right in Christ, your redemptive right, your gospel right, and your right as a recreated, blood-bought child of God to have what belongs to you. Take it, and it will come. It's yours now by faith. So accept God's word and believe it, and it will become a reality in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Father God, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, God, for your word. We believe it. We receive it. And this word that has gone forth into the hearts and minds of your people shall bring forth a harvest in their lives in abundance. Every secret desire of their hearts shall be turned into testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. Grant each one, O God, the grace to do what you have said. And Father God, to you alone we will return all the glory. I'm going to make a call for salvation. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so now. If you're not saved, you're not safe, first of all, and you don't have access to the promises of God. You don't have access to any of what I've been teaching and talking about. If you're under the sound of my voice and perhaps you knew Jesus Christ, but you know the road got long, you got discouraged, Jesus loves you, and he's calling you to come back home. God has great plans for your life. Come on, both groups, pray this prayer with me now. Dear Lord, I come to you today. You know my life. You know how I have lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, my physician and healer, my provider, who died for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and live your life in me and through me. From this day forward, I belong to you. Bow your heads now as I pray with you. Father God, no man comes unless you draw them. And so everyone who's prayed that prayer with me this morning, God, you drew them. And so the same grace that drew them, oh God, the same grace that has opened their hearts, Lord, let that same grace continue to keep them until the end. And to you alone, Lord, we give all the glory. To you we give all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Well, welcome. You have just come home to the kingdom of our Father, Almighty God, if you've prayed that prayer. And God has great plans for your life. And so now you have to do your part. You have to pray and ask God to lead you to your church home, okay? You belong somewhere. And as we've come to understand, we have to go to the place where, you know, because it's by our observations, our association, and the teaching that we get, right, that we see what we see in our lives. And so God will lead you to your right place. So you pray and you ask God. It will be a church that teaches and preaches the word of faith. The word of God, which is the uncompromised word of God. It's called the word of faith also, right? It will be a church where they practice water baptism. It will be a church where they practice the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when the altar call is made, you can feel free to go forward there and give your life publicly to Christ as well. Amen? We welcome you in our midst. If you're listening to us for the first time, someone may have invited you, but it was God who sent for you. And he sent you here to give you understanding. He sent you here to give you the keys to the kingdom, the keys to your high places in life. God has great plans for your life, and so we welcome you in our midst. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. As you go, know that God's Holy Spirit is going before you, making safe, joyful, and successful your way. As you go, know that all things are working together for your good. As you go, know that the blessing of God is following you. As you go, know that favor is following you. It is surrounding you like a shield. As you go, know that goodness is following you. As you go, know that you will be favored today wherever you go in the mighty name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against you, you shall condemn. Whosoever is gathering against you in the mighty name of Jesus, according to the word of God, Isaiah 54:15, he said, behold, surely they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever gathers against you will fall for your sake. As you go, know that your footsteps are being guided to your God-ordained spouse. That woman, that man that God has for you, come on, your footsteps are being guided to your God-ordained spouse. Before this year is over, someone will meet their God-ordained spouse. Before this year is over, someone will meet their God-ordained spouse, and there will be a witness in your spirit, this is him. There will be a witness in your spirit, this is her. As you go, know that God is prospering the work of your hands. As you sow into his kingdom, as you sow into the lives of those in need, as the Holy Spirit quickens you and shows you, he'll open your eyes, he'll touch your heart, he'll tell you where to give. And as you sow, supernaturally, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he will multiply the seed back to you. God will multiply that. You see, that's how we get wealthy in the kingdom. It's supernatural, but it comes through giving. And as you go, know that your children are blessed. I don't care what it looks like right now. But the Bible said that the spirit that is upon you and the word that he has put in your mouth, that spirit that's waking you up at 6 o'clock in the morning to hear the word of God, he said that spirit that is upon you and the word that he has put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed. Hallelujah. That's your children, your offspring. Nor from the mouth of your seed. Your generations, come on, are blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus, everything concerning you is blessed. I call forth promotions in your life. I call forth miracle jobs into your life. I call forth divine health into your life. I call forth healing in your life. In the name of Jesus, every evil report that you have been given, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cancel that report. I decree and I declare good news Hashanakaye. Good news, Makosakaye. Good news. You are the head, not the tail. You are the lenders, not the borrowers. Let me tell you something. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going to supernaturally come out of every debt in the mighty name of Jesus, and you won't go back in. Come on. You won't go back in. You are the head, not the tail. You are the lenders, not the borrowers. You are above and not beneath. God said so. He said, because you obey and serve me, he said, I'll set you on high above all nations of the earth. Let me tell you something. They may be looking down at you now, but as you continue to feed on God's word, if you do what I'm telling you to do, as you continue to feed on God's word, they'll be looking up for you. Hallelujah. They'll be looking up for you. Come on now. Say with me. Jesus Christ died for us to have this. Say it with me, Revelation 5:12. Come on, say this after me. I am powerful. I am rich. I am wise. I am strong. I am honorable. I am glorious. I am blessed. I am a blessing. I release you now to go forth and be a blessing to your world. I love you. God bless you. We'll be together next week. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, I'm
born to reign,
say,
born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary person.
Whoa, I'm dancing for
sing it like you believe it.
Born to reign,
born to reign
in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for greatness.
Circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean to say. Ooh, na na na, whoa, yo.
Born to reign in life.
I'm no